The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open your Bibles to Revelation 18. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the only way that a believer can quickly and rapidly get in fellowship, name, cite, or acknowledge personal sin at any time, under any circumstances, and you're back in fellowship. What this does for you is, for the moment at least, till you commit the next one, and we all stumble in many ways, sins of ignorance, sins of cognizance. So what we need to set ourselves right in time, in a moment in time, is to utilize 1 John 1:9, rebound. It is clear. The verse is right in front of us. It isn't for unbelievers. Unbelievers won't do them any good to confess their sins. They have to believe in Jesus Christ. So when you're in fellowship, the indwelling Holy Spirit fills you, and you can accomplish and glorify God, accomplish the will of God, apply, build up your SG3 account, whether you're suffering or making some application or doing your everyday ordinary stuff. If you're doing it in fellowship, you're getting a reward for it. And at this time, it gives you the distinct advantage of appreciating the information communicated. The only handicap that believers have is a lack of a frame of reference. But we take care of that over time. You can't make that up real quick. You just have to hang in there with things, and things will click, and you'll assimilate the truth and replace the human viewpoint and the nonsense with the mind of Christ. We have the mind / thinking of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your mercies are renewed each and every day for us, and that we can assemble ourselves together in these momentous and tumultuous and exceedingly evil times. We thank you that you give us the light, showing us the future and where we're headed, so that we can be relaxed if we choose to with regard to what is afoot. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. The topic, the prophetic topic of the United States and prophecy, to me, couldn't be clearer. The main two pillars for that is that the entity under the description Babylon is the major economic world power in Gentile history, at the end, in the end times. And two, and this one is equally important in this identification, given the greatness of the United States in history, based on the economy and cranking out stuff, it is the only country whose population is built on immigration, going clear back. Tell me another one. Yes, there are people that move different places, but their country was not built on immigration. Ours was, is. So with that in mind, we have in the book of Revelation two Babylons. They both get wiped out in the tribulation. The first one is the big, fake, corrupt church, so-called, parading around as the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, the Roman Catholic system. We looked at that last time in 17. God's going to bring it to an end. A system like that in no way reflects what we have in the New Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament about a person at the top of it, called a pope, who, when he sits in his seat with his garb on, speaks ex cathedra and is infallible. No, he isn't infallible. He's corrupt. And then the hierarchy with cardinals and bishops and all the way down this ladder. You don't see any of that in the New Testament. And then, of course, what do you got to do to be saved? Jump through all these hoops and maybe you'll make it. I don't know if they still believe it. They used to believe in purgatory. Somewhere between heaven and hell. And you go there and they figure out which direction you're going to go. What a bunch of junk. It's too unbelievable what people will buy into. Big cathedrals, a big long history, doesn't make it right. It is the morphing of the ancient mother-son cult into its modern, with Christian terminology, form, with all the idolatry, the worship of images and Mary and all of it. This developed through the centuries. God's going to bring it down. It's also an organization that has a bunch of blood on its hands. The Church of Jesus Christ, believers, we're not to go out here and kill those we don't agree with. We evangelize them and move on. But they involved in serious persecutions. And legit Christians died under their inquisitions. They've never renounced any of that. They might have said, oh yeah, well, there was a period we had a good pope and a bad pope. They're both bad. When it was they had two popes at one time, one in France and one in Italy. So anyway, and irony of ironies, who's going to take them down? The Antichrist. And as we saw last time, the Antichrist and his revived Roman Empire. It's always been a dream that the Roman Empire would be revived. They had what they called the Holy Roman Empire, and the quip was, it was neither holy nor Roman. So the idea of building this thing back up, and of course, the Roman Empire, basically, it's Western Europe. And the countries of Western Europe. Rome extended its power. And then it all came down and came apart and went back to nation states. So, in 18, the woman is the religious system. The harlot. All gussied up with pearls and all, blah, blah, blah. She's riding on a scarlet-colored beast with seven heads and 10 horns. The 10 horns are on head 7. And when John got this information, it was revealed to him, 5 have fallen. 5 major ancient empires have fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Persia, and last, Alexander's Greece. It was an empire. It broke up into four sections when he died at a very young age of 33 after accomplishing all he accomplished. Alex is coming back. He's coming up out of the abyss. Now, he couldn't do that. God will raise him and send the world strong delusion. He and the false prophet. My opinion, I think it's Nostradamus. I know that the false prophet has to be a Jew. and the Antichrist will be a Gentile. Well, the Jews have embraced some of the most God-awful stuff imaginable. It's not going to be a problem for their leadership to wrap their arms around this man when they are threatened and their nation is threatened by all these nations. And he promises, because he's had in the first half of the trip, he's had incredible military success. Like Alexander of old, inferior forces. He just had the best tactics and knew when to move and what to do. That's how he took down the much larger Persian armies that came against him. He'll do it again. His brain will be loaded with so much information, it'll stagger you. He will know all the history from the time he died up till now. He'll know names and places. He'll know the geography. He'll know the politics. He'll know the weapon systems. He'll know the people. He'll know everything like that. Because he doesn't have a big time to get this all together. He doesn't have years like a Napoleon or somebody. It's got to happen fast, lightning fast. And the nations, those that follow him, they will say, who can make war with the beast? And in the middle of the trib, he'll make a deal with the Jews. It's called in Isaiah, you made a covenant with death. The leaders, here's the deal. We'll make a 7-year treaty. You protect us for 7 years, and we'll call you God, Messiah, whatever you want. Now that's just the leadership that's the final big national sin of Israel. Of all people, they embrace the Antichrist, a man who in human history will say that he is connected to Lucifer and he is God. A substitute for Christ, the only man that is God, the God-man. And will set up his AI. You didn't have an image described like that one in Revelation 13 that speaks and talks and does all this and has all this data. That technology is real new and developing rapidly. Plus the mark of the beast. I don't know how anybody ever looked at that and said, what's that? How can you be doomed for taking a tattoo, even if it's satanic? You can't. And so the warning not to take the mark of the beast is because it will hack a person's volition. Don't take it. You'll be a zombie, so to speak. So the Catholic Church is taken down, for God has put it in their hearts, 17 of 17, to execute his purpose by having a common purpose. The Lord and the Antichrist have a common purpose, but for different reasons. They have a common purpose. That's where their deal crosses. To execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. The woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The Catholic system spreading itself out and controlling the monarchs through history. The monarchs through history, a lot of them were Catholic, France, whatever, and the whole idea was, you can't go to heaven. You don't have a chance if you don't do what we say and support the church. So the woman is astride the beast. But it's the 10 horns that is going to wipe her out and take her down. And that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth is, we would say, Rome, Italy. But within Rome is an enclave. Vatican City. While it's a part of the geography, it's independent. It's like our District of Columbia. It's like the City of London in London. These are three places that have this all in common. All this harks back to the Babylonian system of antiquity, in which there was a chief deity, a mother, and a son. They've discovered them all over the place. The mother-son cult. Egypt, even China. Missionaries ran in there and saw the Madonna, so-called, with the child. So how is Satan going to save this system when paganism became persona non grata? He is going to morph it, and did morph it into this system with a high priest called a pope. And all these systems had a high priest over it. Just change it up to make it look Christian. So the Antichrist will take that out. That'll happen in the first half too. It's got to. And when he takes it down, he's going to take it down. He is going to loot all of the vast wealth that they have in the Vatican and in these other places. And it won't be pretty. The second Babylon is the United States for reasons specified. And an announcement will be made by an angel to the entire human race regarding this country right after the rapture. Because people have to have time to get out of here, get saved, and do what they have to do. It's a faith proposition. You're comfortable in Babylon, you got your home, you got your job. You know, are you going to run and go off into some country? And the uncertainties associated with that and the difficulty? Well, you better. Or you're going to die in the nuclear holocaust. I have a thing on my phone that talks about the Russia. Excuse me. They're no longer the Soviet Union. They're Russia. They've transformed themselves. Oh, they're not perfect. I'm not glorifying them. Was sent to me the kind of weapons they have. That they've been, they're, God has greased their skids. While we've been messing around with 1970 missiles, Minutemen, they've brought their whole arsenal up. They're even still working on other things. They can't be detected, can't be knocked down. I'm talking about intercontinental. One of them travels, 15,000 to 16,000 miles an hour. What? Now, we saw in the Old Testament God, all the weapons on earth, whatever they are, they're the Lord's. Period. Everything is the Lord's. And no one will be able to use anything apart from His involvement. And so this angel makes this announcement to the human race after he lights up the world. How does an angel do that? He lights up the whole world. I can imagine what they're going to be saying. Of course, the rapture has occurred. And people are spinning around on that one. Let the news media deal with that one. And then he has great authority, this angel. And he makes the announcement. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And then he gives the reasons and the condition of the country and her influence worldwide. It's not a positive picture. It talks about her intense wealth. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Because see, this is under a figure of another woman. The woman. Verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying... So this is an additional voice to the angel's voice, but it's the same pronouncement. If the voice comes out of heaven, people have to hear it so they can be in the will of God. Come out of her, my people. You believers, get out. So that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. All the associated things that's a result of exposure to the explosion of nuclear weapons. Outright vaporization to some prolonged dying of radiation poisoning. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven. Verse 5. This is a takeoff from the Tower of Babel. They were going to build a tower that reached to heaven. I know it's stupid, but this is you can't explain the mentality of some people that are hostile and antagonistic. Her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. All through our history, He has remembered all of it, all the incidences where she acted up and did this these sins. We see them today. And when that final layer of imaginary bricks is laid, that's when the hammer will drop. Pay her back as she has paid. You reap what you sow. And give her back double according to her deeds. To whom much is given, much is required. U.S. gets double discipline. We've had freedom, we've had everything, and how we have misused so much of what we have had and been blessed by. In the cup which she is mixed. This is American philosophy and viewpoint. Mix twice as much for her. She's going to drink this. The nations have been influenced by America, its culture, its politics, its banking system, particularly the Western world, a system that has legalized counterfeiting. That's what the Federal Reserve is. Imaginary money. It's not based on gold and silver in stock. I mean, one time we had some backing. Some of our leaders have warned us about that system. As I told you before, they are not answerable to the government of the United States and to the Congress of the United States. They do what they want to do, expanding the deal, causing inflation, deflation, boom and bust back in the day. The bankers were manipulating. That's what led to the crash of 29. It's what's led to the Federal Reserve System, excuse me. Oh, if we get this, we won't have those busts and booms anymore, which you were producing. And then we had the crash of 29, which was manufactured. Many people are hurt. Hardworking people. The Federal Reserve System. And now look where we're at. How many trillions we are in debt. It's ridiculous. You may not have been hurt by it, but you have in a way. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously. Now we're going back to this prostitute imagery. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says, and here's a quotation from another chapter in the Old Testament that deals with the United States and prophecy. The mentality, the arrogance. I sit as a queen. And I'm not a widow. And will never see mourning. American exceptionalism, they called it. That we're special. And we're just going to we're going to make it. We're going to get through it all. For this reason, in one day, it's a 24-hour day, her plagues will come. Pestilence and mourning and famine. The food supply is shut down. And if you had it, you're sick. You can't keep it down. And she'll be burned up with fire. For the Lord who judges her is strong. And He can do it however He chooses to. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment. All that mess that's pulled up into the atmosphere. And of course the winds carry this stuff all around. And that's the fourth rider of the four horses of the apocalypse, the ashen horse. It will kill more than the population of the United States because it's going to spread. Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour your judgment has come. 1 hour, that's all it'll take. It'll be a day. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood, exotic woods, and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine. These all these imports. And olive oil. See them all over your shelf. Italy. Blah, blah. And fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it is written. And so chariots equate to the import of automobiles. That's our chariot. When you get through here today, you go out and get in your chariot and go home. Transportation. They couldn't very well say, you know. And slaves. What all that refers to. And human lives. There is merchandising in humans. Now there is a huge problem with children being trafficked. And they got to know about it up there. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. This is a reaction in 15. The merchants of these things, who became rich from her, will stand at a distance. Again, that stand at a distance is understood now in light of nuclear war. Because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. It's all radioactive, if it's not destroyed completely. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance. And were crying as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? They threw dust on their heads and were crying, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. There's the refrain, for in 1 hour, she has been laid waste. Now, what is the reaction of all of us that are in heaven? What is our reaction going to be when this country is taken down? Rejoice over her heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Now here's one, and this clicked with me sometime after I taught it way back in the day. Then a strong angel, we got another angel put into the picture, just described as a strong angel, took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. And I believe that's the base of the Statue of Liberty. Of course, it doesn't mention the woman on it with the torch signifying immigration. But this can't just be any stone out there. It has to be millstones were round. So it's on this base, it's a mammoth base, and he picks this whole thing up. And he throws it, he pitches it into the sea, somewhere in the deepest part of the Atlantic, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. Now, another characteristic of America is that we've been the music capital of the world. I mean, other people have music, obviously, but we've, and the sound of harpists, stringed instruments, and musicians, and flute players, wind instruments, and trumpeters will not be hurting you any longer. It'll be dead silent. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of the mill, that's factories, will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of the lamp, electricity in homes, will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. Marriage is a big industry in this country. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. You think about it. Some people have some kind of figures on it. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, the Rockefellers, these kind of people. They were the great men of the earth because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, not necessarily in this country, but other places caught up in this, our policy, and all who have been slain on the earth. So a lot of blood can be traced back to America. We can cite, think of the kind of regimes that we have sent money to and are. Think of it. We did it with the Soviet Union when they were killing all their people. We recently sent $6 billion to Iran. And the Iranians are out in the street, destroy Israel, destroy the USA, chanting. What do you think Iran does with this money? Among other things, funnels the terrorists to the terrorists. There's two groups of them that are close to Israel, give them a lot of trouble. Hamas in the Gaza Strip area that did the recent attack. And your tax dollar. And in the north, the Hezbollah group in Lebanon. This is just one little illustration of the awful regimes we have pumped money into. We normalized relation with communist China back in the day. Nixon and Kissinger running over there. We didn't stand up as a moral source and say, you shouldn't be doing this to your people. This is criminal. We had all kinds of fancy phrases for it. Detente. If we do this, they'll soften and be nice guys. That's just to be sold to the dummies in the street. To believe that sort of mess. There's so much. So that's your two. That's the chapter in Revelation. Since we're reviewing it, we have two other chapters. I did Isaiah 13 for you on the USA because this is the big end time entity that's taken down. The next one I have for you is Isaiah 21. God revealed these things through His servants, the prophets. They didn't have to they didn't have to understand. They just had to, you know, record the information. Isaiah 21. The oracle concerning the wilderness of the sea. As windstorms in the Negev, that's southern Israel, sweep on. It comes from the wilderness, from a terrifying land. That's the judgment on the United States. A harsh vision has been shown to me. The treacherous one. We are treacherous. We are not good to our word. You cannot trust our word. Deals treacherously. And the destroyer still destroys. Now, using the language of the fall of ancient Babylon, we use the same language of the same language here, code. Another group that was a part of the Persians, the lesser group, the Elamites. Go up Elam, lay siege Media. The Medes, I told you, they were the famous archers of the Persians' army. I've made an end of all the groaning she has caused. For this reason, my loins are full of anguish. The effect on the prophet of this, what he saw, you know, it upset him. Pains have seized me like pains of a woman in labor. I am so bewildered, I cannot hear. So terrified, I cannot see. My mind reels. Horror overwhelms me. This is like a nightmare. The twilight I long for has been turned into trembling. Then he goes back to the story. Americans. Here's what they're doing when this comes down. They set the table. They spread out the cloth. They eat. They drink. Rise up, captains. Oil the shields. For thus says the Lord to me, go station the lookout. Let him report what he sees. Whenever the Persians came towards Babylon, this is the disposition of their forces. The watchman on the wall would see. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, a train of donkeys, that's the transport stuff for the army, a train of camels, let him pay close attention, very close attention. Then the lookout called, O Lord, I stand continuously by day on the watchtower, and I am stationed every night at my guard post. That's kind of what I do up here for you and present to you this information. Now behold, there comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one said, fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground. O my threshed people, Israel has been caught up in this, and Jews have suffered, and my afflicted of the threshing floor. What I've heard from the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, I'll make known to you. All right. The other one I want to do for you. Oh, by the way, Oracle about Edom. I think the people of the Gaza are the remnants of Edom, and they're very anti-Semitic, say the least. And you know what anti-Semitism like that will get you? Cursed. And they made the mistake of doing what they did in this war that is ongoing. And you say, well, a lot of innocent people, they're cursed by association. These people are very anti-Jewish, anti-Israel. The whole thing is they want all the land. And they're squatters. Because that land was promised to the spiritual descendants and the racial descendants of Abraham in perpetuity. Whether the Jews are in the land or out of the land, it's there. This was given to them. And these people are exceedingly hostile in every way, and they harbor this Hamas group. They're cursed by association. They should have never let them in there, but they're in there. I think that they're probably going to have to go by the wayside before we can really get into the tribulation and a bunch of Jews can come from the United States and set up shop there as best they can as they come from America to Israel in light of what we saw. Also, Isaiah 47, another one we'll spend the rest of our time taking a peek at. Isaiah 47. This is the figure of a debutante, if you will. A woman who lives in luxurious circumstances. She's also very attractive. And this will be a figure for the United States. Now, this happened to women when nations would conquer. They didn't care who it was. When they drug people off into captivity, they didn't care that you were pampered and had everything and were beautiful. You're turned into a slave girl. You're thrown right down into the dust with the rest of them. No distinction is made. You're nobody. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne. So this would be a princess or even a queen. O daughter of the Chaldeans. Daughter of the Chaldeans is the United States. Chaldeans is for the Anglos. For you'll no longer be called tender and delicate. So what did they do with slave girls, these people they took into captivity? They gave them menial labor. She never got her hands dirty, let alone do this. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. strip off the skirt, uncover the leg, cross the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered. Your shame also will be exposed. I'll take vengeance and I will not spare a man. That goes back to the theme. There will be no survivors when the dust settles in these United States. From border to border, ocean to ocean, nobody. Usually there are some kind of survivors. Our Redeemer, the Lord of the armies is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit silently and go into darkness, or I might say, go into oblivion. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you'll no longer be called the Queen of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. 70 A.D. and the other incidences. I profaned my heritage and gave them into your hand. Jews have spread all over, and a lot of them are around the United States. You did not show mercy to them. On the aged, you made your yoke very heavy. That was the verse I was looking for. Elderly people suffer under this socialism in the United States. A lot of people suffer in a lot of ways. On the aged, you made your yoke very heavy, yet you said, I will be a queen forever. See, that was the verse we quoted, was quoted over in 18. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. Now hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I'm special. I am, and there's no one besides me. This is a mentality that Americans have had. There is no one besides me. I'll not sit as a widow. No loss of children, citizens. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. There's your theme. It keeps coming back. Loss of children and widowhood. Loss of citizens and widowhood. They will come to you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries, your diplomatic stuff. I'm wondering here at the end that there will be a final attempt to get Russia to back off. And that the rider on the white horse, and a big attempt to cool this all down, and maybe it will seem to succeed at first. Fulfilling that verse, when they say save, security, peace and security. So that in spite of your many sorceries, sorcery, let's dangle stuff before these. We'll do this and do this and send the diplomats in and send whoever they want to send in. In spite of the power of your spells, you felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. In other words, we're not accountable. We'll do what we're going to do. Your wisdom and your knowledge have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. It is called American exceptionalism. It is a view that has been expressed openly by leaders. We're special. But evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away. Indicating that you will try. But it's going to break down. And disaster will fall on you for which you cannot atone. And destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. Then our system is mocked. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries from which you've labored from your youth. Perhaps you'll be able to profit. This is sarcasm. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, in ancient Babylon, they had astrologers reading the stars and telling them if they could do this or not and all the rest. Those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what came upon you. In other words, your counselors, your experts, your wise men, in whatever organizations they're in. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal, more sarcasm. All the energy system will be set down. There will be no coal. See, they used coal to light and have fires and warm places up. And we used in our history for quite a while. Maybe some people still do, but we use electricity. There will be no coal to warm by, nor a fire to sit before. So have those become to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. Each has wandered in his own way. There's none to save you. Nobody's going to come to our aid. No country is capable or even wants to. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.